Dorset Cleanup with me, Lily Coleman. Today we'll be discussing the impact which litter is having on the area. More specifically, we'll be finding out what local residents are doing and what programmes are happening to try and prevent littering and the impact it's having on the environment. Joining me today will be the head of a group trying to keep our area clean, a surfer against sewage, and we'll be debating the divisive issue of cleaning for the Queen. Our way of paying respect or just a pro-royal PR exercise? All that and more coming up in the next half hour. Hello. So our debate on Clean for the Queen later, but first, did you know that 9 billion tonnes of litter end up in our oceans every year? And according to the Marine Conservation Society, there are nearly 2,500 items of rubbish for every kilometre on UK beaches. So let's get an insight into how our biggest beach in our area is looking. Our first guest today is Peter Ryan. He runs his own environmental group here in Dorset called the Dorset Devils. Founded in 2013 through litter action, the group is formed of 84 members of local residents who battle against the litter bugs. So Peter, what inspired you to start the Dorset Devils?
Hi Lily. Simply what was my way of just getting out and about and getting some fresh air, other than picking up a bit of litter and speaking to my neighbours. It's then progressed since then.
Do you think litter is a serious issue in the local area?
Litter is a serious issue everywhere, unfortunately. Every town, village, city in the country. Yes, it does continue to mount up and it needs everyone to help us out.
How much has the litter situation improved since you started the Dorset Devils?
Some of the old litter we've now cleared away. For wherever we are, because we're all spread right across Bournemouth area, from Hengistry Head to Sandbanks, Parkstone, and Westcliff, Eastcliff. So we look after our own patches, which includes our own streets, our nearest park, Clifftop, and more importantly, our beaches. So we clear away the older litter, but the new litter, or the posh litter, as Stella, my wife, says, that keeps returning day after day.
How clean would you say Dorset is now?
No better, no worse, so I'm afraid. We've got far too many people, unfortunately, are prepared to drop litter rather than put it in the bin or take it home with them. That's the unfortunate situation we deal with.
Do you think that the introduction of the 5p bag charge has led to any changes or not really?
Yes, thankfully it's now arrived in England. Yes, it's made a big difference in terms of the carrier bags. They're less prevalent. Still see a few blue ones, but on that side of things, it's a big improvement. It's good to see.
Okay. What are the biggest issues you're currently facing with littering?
Basically, because it keeps mounting up. It's everywhere, really. And we're, the whole part of Dorset Devils is not necessary to just pick up litter, which we do, the whole team of us, individually, but trying to raise litter awareness. And that slowly has, because we all got our very high vis, as you can see me wearing, so people can tell we're not council workers, we're local residents, as the other people are, or visitors to the area. So we're Dorset Devils, very low key, but we like to be loud and proud rather than meek and mild litter pickers. And that's what it's all about. Mainly we go out there, litter picking is great, but really we go out there to have a bit of fun.
Okay.
And speak to our neighbours and passers-by and help them out. We're not just litter pickers.
So it's sort of like a social thing more than
It's turned into that. I didn't intend for that when I started up 3 years ago. It was just for me to get out of the housework and DIY. That's the truth. And it worked very well. But then 14 months ago, a newly retired couple saw me on the Clifftop, came over and said, can we do what you're doing? And I said, what's that? We want to pick up litter as well. I thought, wow, that's brilliant. Now, instead of one person, there's three of us. What can we do about that? So really, it was a game changer for me. I didn't know how to go about it, but then I contacted my local ward council, which I've never done before, got them out onto the streets, and said to them, I was prepared to encourage people to the lights of picking up other people's rubbish. And he quite liked that idea, and Bournemouth Borough Council quite liked that idea, and they agreed to actually provide me with all the kit in advance at my home.
Okay.
And I run the whole of Dorset Devils on my own, along with my wife Stella, Dorset Devil number two. And I've got some very good other Dorset Devilers with me who are very much on page with this whole thing. But we love doing it. We love engaging with people. We love to meet up occasionally. And we have a great chit-chat. And so it is a social interaction. It's really developed into something that I didn't perceive us having. 84 people are prepared to pick up other people's rubbish. It's quite exciting.
So how do you think most people found out? Was it just seeing you working on list picking?
That's exactly what happened yesterday. We went out onto the cliff top and this lady must have seen our high vis. We didn't see her. She approached us and said, I've always wanted to do this as well as just doing the standard planned beach cleans. And by that evening, she'd signed up. And soon she'll make arrangements to come round to collect her kit from me, but she has to pass her litter picking test first.
Okay, thank you for that. Joining me today is our roving reporter, Harry Smith, live at Bournemouth Beach. So, Harry, how's it looking down there?
Hiya, I'm here at Bournemouth Beach. It's a really... ...and a lot of young parents around with children. We've walked around the beach and we can see a fair bit of litter. There's a few bottles around, a few plastic bags and a few like food bags from where people...
Well, another group that are striving towards a greener future for our oceans. Oh my god. Is the Jurassic Coast. Are people fully aware of the damage that littering has done on the coastal environment? Earlier today, I spoke to Guy Kerr, who works for the Jurassic Coast of Dorset and West Devon. I began by asking him to elaborate on what he actually does for the organisation.
Local volunteers or experts know all about the Jurassic Coast and can sort of deliver various projects to various audiences, and my other role is fundraising, so basically raising money for the trust through partnerships with businesses and through events and through individual donations as well.
And what are the main threats towards our coast at the moment?
One of the main things that we do is to basically allow natural erosion to happen on the coast. So one of the main threats, as we see it, is overly grand coastal defence schemes. Where we actually worked with a coastal defence scheme was in Lyme Regis. So when they basically built the new seawall there, we were really heavily involved in the input to really allow people to access the coast while still allowing the natural erosion to happen. And in a lot of places, the natural erosion actually gets curtailed by some of the coastal defences. So from our point of view, it's kind of, overly ambitious coastal defence schemes are one of the main threats.
What can we do to help Jurassic Coast take care of the coastlines?
Well, one of our major things at the moment is basically the trust who I work for take on more responsibility. So we're basically becoming more self-funded. We were previously kind of largely funded through local government. So that's basically changing now. So it's my role to kind of increase the trust funding sources and to generate more income. So that's one of the ways that people can really help is by donating to the trust or coming to one of our events or contributing as a business or in another way. And then obviously just taking care when they're out on the coast and following all the guidelines and following the fossil code and things like that. Those are very important as well.
Have you seen any improvements to the coastlines that you care for?
We've done kind of interpretive panels at various spots along the coast, which is always helpful. I'd say those are kind of the main things that we've been involved with, yeah.
Do you think that litter specifically is a problem for
like local beaches and coastlines?
Anywhere that's beautiful and attracts visitors, you're always going to have issues with some people not behaving themselves. So yeah, I think it's not specific to us. It kind of applies nationally and around the world as well. Anyone who loves the Jurassic Coast and can see how beautiful it is and how globally unique it is just wants to look after it and so they keep it looking that way. So to not have it spoiled by excessive development or by negligent practice of visitors. So yeah, it's just kind of maintaining that beauty and that uniqueness that we all love.
What does the future look like for the Jurassic Coast?
I think it's pretty bright. We're taking more responsibility as a charity now, so we're doing lots of great new initiatives. We've got our Go Jurassic Rangers Children's Club, which we've launched last year, which is going really well. We've got lots of events for that coming up. We're appearing at lots of major festivals. You know, I think we're getting ourselves out there a lot more. We've recruited lots of ambassadors and businesses, so our ethos is out there a lot more. And yeah, we're generating a lot more income now, so it's very bright as far as I'm concerned.
What events are you hosting in the future?
So we've got the Fossil Festival in Lyme Regis coming up at the end of April. That's probably our next big event. And then after that, we're going to be at Camp Festival with the YHA in Lulworth Estate. That's sort of end of July. And then various kind of little local festivals all through the summer, really.
Is there a message that you'd like to send the public about coastline conservation?
Go out there, enjoy the coast, experience it. It's so diverse, it's so brilliant, there's so much to see. And just to stay safe, so stay away from the cliffs when you're out and about. Just stay safe, take all your litter home with you. That's basically the number one tip to have a great day out.
What's the feedback that you've received been like?
Yeah, well, we get lots of feedback. You know, we get lots of questions, we got lots of people asking for travel advice, lots of people asking about the geological history, which we sort of try to answer through our website and our social media presence. We just get lots of nice comments, good feedback from people. We try to sort of encourage a dialogue between people who are enjoying the coast and ourselves.
Well, another group that is striving towards a greener future for our oceans and beaches are Surfers Against Sewage. This charity group, formed in 1990 by beachers and surf lovers. With help from other environmental charities, they helped pressurise the government introducing the 5p bag charge last year. One of their volunteers, Alessandra Catania, joins me now. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, hi there.
Hello. Could you give a brief insight into the process of a typical beach clean?
It starts quite early on normally. We get try and identify the beaches that need the most work done locally. We then have to kind of get permission from councils, round up volunteers, so we put loads of posters up, we use social media to advertise events and stuff, and then it's organising who's going to be where, doing risk assessments. So as much as it quite often seems like it's all on the day, there's actually quite a lot of prep work that goes in beforehand. And then on the day we tend to do a bit of a safety briefing, hoping that lots of people have turned up, giving people the equipment they need. So we supply gloves and bags and buckets and that kind of stuff. And then it tends to be a case of sending people off for, set amount of times, telling them what to be looking out for if we're looking for individual items or, the reoccurring issues that we've got. And then we gather everyone up, tend to weigh in what we've taken off the beaches, and it's just a bit of a giggle at the end to find out who's got the most interesting, weirdest, wonderfulest thing that day, really.
How would you say Clean for the Queen project impacted your efforts in cleaning Britain's beaches?
Sorry, say that again.
The Clean for the Queen project, has that impacted your efforts in cleaning Britain's beaches?
I haven't had much to do directly with Clean for the Queen. I know there has been some local action recently, but it is something that Surfers Against Sewage was looking at getting involved in.
Oh, okay. So has the introduction of the 5p bag charge had any visual difference in the amount of litter that you see on beaches across the UK?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we were one of the founding members of the Breaking the Bag Habit introducing the scheme last year in October. And at that time, there was estimated sort of up to 50 bags per kilometre of beaches in the UK. And since that's been introduced, actually, we're looking at a 75 to 80% decrease in the number of bags that are being bought in supermarkets or used in supermarkets. So hopefully, you know, give it a little bit more time and we'll be seeing that kind of decrease in the bags that are on our beaches and along our coastlines.
What other items of litter do you think are problematic?
Well, where do you start, really? I mean, single-use plastic items are the one that's one of the biggest issues at the moment. Things like your plastic drinks bottles. Not only are you littering the bottle, but often the lid's detached. Sometimes you've got several parts to the lid, so we see those all the time. Plastic cups. You know, the things that we throw away on a daily basis. Coffee cups, the lids of those, the coffee itself lasts 5 minutes. The lids of those cups can last 500 to 1,000 years in the environment. They never completely disappear. They're just breaking down into smaller and smaller pieces, really. So it's those things that are the problem. The single-use items, we're seeing as disposable waste.
Can you think of anything that could help people try and prevent littering those items or...?
Well, we do a lot of campaigning to try and educate people. So we do lots of Return to the Offender is one of our campaigns at the moment, which we are encouraging people to, if you find rubbish on the beach, we're encouraging people to send it back to the manufacturers. We're hoping that this then gets manufacturers to put more advertising on their products to show better ways of disposing of things. And just more awareness, really. So if you can start something higher up the chain, then the end user is more likely to be influenced. And there's also other campaigns, you know, like trying to go, what they're calling, go topless with your coffee cups. You know, you don't always need a lid. Things like taking your own carrier bags all the time, you know, those kind of, it's just about habit more than anything.
Do you think that people are fully aware of the damage that littering has on the environment?
I think the bag habit campaign has actually really made people start considering, you know, their waste and the plastic that they are using. I don't necessarily think people are always completely aware, and I think there's a lot of issues that people aren't aware of. Sewage-related debris, you know, what you should be flushing down your toilet. You know, you shouldn't be flushing your plastic products, you shouldn't be sanitary products, shouldn't be nappies, razors, toothbrushes. These things all get flushed down the toilet, and it's those things that are actually, you know, people sometimes don't know that they're not meant to. So awareness is quite a key thing, and I think with the help of social media, then we can kind of increase people's awareness. But yeah, it's there's always more that can be done on that one, I think.
Okay, thank you for your time, Ali. We appreciate it.
Thanks ever so much. Cheers.
Before we move on to Clean for the Queen, let's go back to our reporter, Ali Endicott, who's down at the coast. Where are you now?
Okay. Hi, I'm along Bournemouth Beach now with Jan, who is a local here who owns a beach hut on the beach. So, hi Jan, do you think there's lots of litter around the beach?
Well, it depends on the time of year, really. At the moment in the winter, there's not very much. I just had a walk along the prom half an hour ago, and all I saw was cigarette ends and a few sweet wrappers. But there are plenty of dustbins all along the beach, so there's not really much excuse for litter dropping at this time of year.
Well, as I walked along the beach, I sort of saw plastic bottles and bits of paper. Do you think more needs to be done to clear it up and make awareness of litter?
Well, if you could make that would be a one. Sometimes come down here to the beach at first thing in the morning and find that people have been picnicking on the terrace here, and there are often bottles, some broken, left up here, which have to be cleared first of all. And there are plenty of dustbins around, so an awareness thing would be good. But the beach officers are quite good at cleaning up, and the dustbins are emptied every day during the summer season, so that's not too bad.
Do you think, in terms of the environment, do you think the litter... The awareness among the town needs to be spread, because obviously the litter gets into the sea and then it can harm marine life and things like that. Do you think that more more signs maybe need to be put up on the beach?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. If people can read the signs, that would be excellent. We used to go scuba diving off the coast along here, and you would often find litter, plastic bags, rubbish and so on under the water. And as you say, it causes a lot of hassle to the marine life. So it's something that needs to be taken care of. People don't seem to be as aware as they should be, or don't take much notice. They throw litter out of their car windows and they drop it as they walk along.
Have you seen the council make an effort to pick litter up and make awareness and things like that at all?
Well, actually, this morning when we arrived, we got down here about 10:30 or 11 at this area of beach huts, and was collecting up bottles that had been left over the weekend. So they are making an effort, and the litter is swept up regularly. I think they do their best, really, but in the summer season, where there are lots of barbecues down here, it can sometimes get out of hand.
Would you say maybe more rangers need to be put on the beaches to keep clearing up litter?
Well, it's always nice during the summer season to see the rangers. They're not here at this time of year, but they usually start during the summer. And they're pretty good. They do chase up litter and do a lot with the beach huts. But as long as we keep the number of rangers we've had in the past, I think probably that will be adequate.
Okay, thanks, Jan.
Thank you very much. Pleasure talking to you. Okay.
Thanks for that, Ali. So 2016 has seen the arrival of new anti-littering campaigns, such as Clean for the Queen. This campaign wants the UK to clear up in time for the Queen's 90th birthday this June, considering the rise in litter levels across the country. In partnership with local councils and volunteer groups, this campaign has received mixed responses. The anti-royalist campaign group Republic released a statement claiming Clean for the Queen scheme is a bad joke and a patronising PR stunt, also saying that picking up litter for a privileged monarch sends completely the wrong message about who we are and how we see ourselves as citizens. Our next guests today are Josh Booth and, joining us again, Peter Ryan. Josh Booth is a 19-year-old chair of Warrington Young Labour, Cheshirette for the North West Labour. He voiced his opinion on Twitter, posting "Clean for the Queen because scrub for the streets, peasants" doesn't have quite the same ring to it. On the other hand, Peter Ryan has been actively involved with the campaign through his environmental group, Dorset Devils. So why do you disagree with the campaign?
Well, I mean, there's lots of reasons I agree with the Republic campaign when they talk about our identity and why we should be cleaning, like we should be cleaning for ourselves, not, for an unelected head of state. But for me, a lot of the issues are around the fact that there have been cuts to councils, street cleaning budgets cut by as much as 80% in some places, and then asking people to pick up the slack just because the government isn't willing to fund those programmes is, it's a bit cheeky, to be honest.
What do you think, Peter?
I think we've all got a part to play in this. We can't just simply sit back and let our council do all these things. They do a pretty good job overall. We dropped the litter in the first place. We could all simply look after our environment a little bit better. It's no hardship. It's very, very simple. Just bin it or take it home. It's very, very simple. Very easy.
Well, I think no one would disagree with that. But at the same time, there are volunteer groups who are already picking up litter. I mean, my local residents association is picking up litter almost every other week, I think. And they're not getting recognition in the same way as this campaign does. And litter picking is going on everywhere, and that could be given funding, that could be given support, promotion. And people are clearing up, people are cleaning. And I think those people who are doing it for the good of their fellow man aren't really being recognised in the same way as this campaign is, and I don't think that's fair.
I think we've got we need a level of campaigning in this country to raise litter awareness. There's no doubt about that. The heading of the Clean for the Queen, well, it didn't necessarily agree with everyone, but it got people out there, got people talking about the subject. And at the end of the day, we shouldn't be dropping litter, but at least it's maybe empowered people to think, well, they could join in and play their part.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no one will disagree that picking up litter is a good thing, because of course it is. And I think raising awareness of the need for us to do that, there's always a place for that. Like I said, there should be fully funded cleaning services from the council. But going back to the the issues with why the government is, why we need to be doing this. You can, I mean, part of the programme was that you could nominate an area for a big clean-up, and that was going to be done by a private German firm. And, you know, because that is the government being in the pocket of big businesses again. It isn't working in the interest of people. Like, happy birthday, Your Majesty. This year, your present is basic living standards for some of your subjects, courtesy of Germany's finest corporations. Like you're saying, raising awareness of the need to pick up litter and not to drop litter in the first place is definitely an important thing. But it should not be focused around the interests of businesses who are making shady deals with politicians. It should be, we all care about the area we live in. Whether you agree with the cuts we're imposing or not, someone is going to have to clean up these areas for your good, not because it's the Queen's birthday. And you know, that as much as I love the fact that there's a massive nationwide effort to keep things clean, we have to look at why it's happening.
What do you think we should be doing instead to help clean up the country? Would you rather see the event renamed rather than what it is now?
Ideally, I mean, you know, I'm an opponent of austerity, and I would be saying that councils should be funded to be doing it enough in the first place. But in terms of awareness and having something like Clean for the Queen, there's no reason that you couldn't have a big campaign that's, I mean, I'm not Clean for the People, because that's a bit of a cheesy name, but something a little bit better than that, maybe. But yeah, I mean, just renaming, talking about that we understand that we care about where we live, particularly young people who, I mean, I'm 19, I know how much people litter my age and younger, and there needs to be an understanding that we are all living in one society together, and if one person drops litter, that, even on a small scale, is going to be affecting the lives of everyone else by making their environment a worse place to live. So I think that should be the focus of it, rather than thank you, Queen, for doing, you know, very little.
I think you'll be pleased to know the Clean for the Queen main campaign around the country has now come to an end. But as a Dorset Deviler, we really want to carry on, to raise awareness and not let it simply die away. We need to continue the impetus of raising awareness and getting cooperation from everyone to play their part, from business to local residents to youngsters to people going to college, Bournemouth University, all spheres of our residents need to play their part.
So Peter, how did you get involved with the Clean for the Queen campaign?
I knew it was coming up, and I thought we'd done lots of beach picks, and I thought we'd do a town centre, and I brought in McDonald's, who I've been associated with, the Dorset Devils, since the middle of last year. They've been very proactive, and also came on board were Costa Coffee. So we had a very good 2 hours through the town centre to, one, refer to Clean for the Queen, but more importantly, to raise level of awareness with regards to the litter issue. And it went very well. We're very satisfied with the feedback we've got locally and nationally.
What would you say the future for the Dorset Devils looks like?
I think it's onwards and upwards. A sum of 100 is not far. We're on 84 residents, which far exceeded my numbers. But how can you stop?
That's all we have time for today. We hope we've provided you with enough information. This show will be available as a podcast soon on the Burst website. That's all for now. Thank you for listening. This is Lily Coleman signing off. Goodbye.